Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's summertime, and you might think putting your baby in a car seat in another cool room for a nap is a good idea. Car seats are a no-go for naps, even in a cooler room. Remember, the safest place for your baby to sleep, summer or winter, is always alone, on their back, and in an empty crib with no toys, blankets, or bumper pads. That's the ABCs of safe sleep. Learn more about infant safe sleep by visiting the Celebrate One website.
We don't usually return for breaks from this, with this.
No, listen.
What do you got for us, Hugh?
Shout out to Elliot Shore Parks, man. Elliot does a great job of posting content, covering the Eagles and all this other stuff that he does for us. But yesterday, you know, as I'm scrolling through my algorithm in my timeline, one of his Instagram.
It was everywhere. Yeah.
It was Instagram.
How do you not know what a tweet is called?
It's a tweet, ain't it? It's called a tweet.
That's a tweet.
Oh, okay.
You're a tweet.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm a tweet. That's a tweet. But he posted a picture, a video, I should say, of Coach Sirianni, and many men was playing in the background. And you have to see it. You have to go to Elliot Shore Parks. You have to go to his Instagram, his Twitter, or whatever it is to see this, because when I saw it, it spoke volumes to me. Because when you're going through certain things in your life, because I've done this, and I'm pretty sure we all have, you listen to music differently. And most of the times, you know, when you listen to music, say now if everything's going well, you listen to it because it sounds good. You like the beat, you like the chorus or whatever. When you're going through something personally, you listen to the words. The words speak to you. And that's what I saw with Coach Sirianni yesterday. He stood there because those words were profound to him, and that's how he felt. One of my favorite songs, man, because at the time when I heard it, I was going through something, is I'm on My Own Planet from Royce da 5'9". And when you hear, like, you, Kyle can't play the words because they're very, very, you know, it's wild. But Kyle, you heard the song, and you understand kind of where I'm going with this. Coach Sirianni sat there yesterday, and he had his arms folded, hair shaved, and he had on his sunglasses. And he was looking off. You couldn't see his eyes, because I think that was I think that was done on purpose. And I think it was also done on purpose because it was at a time where the media gets a chance to film the practice. And 50 Cent's song is playing in the background. And I was like, wow, that's profound right there. That's why I believe, and these are the little things, people, just to give you an insight of how I think, these are the little things that happen that make me feel like this team might rally around their coach. Like, I don't know, because I'm not there. I'm not there every day. But when I saw that, I understood exactly what Coach Sirianni was doing. He was sending a message, because everybody wants to come after him, and they wish that he's fired, and they're looking at him like, you know, he's losing it or whatever. And he stood there in that moment, and I guarantee you, he heard every word, and every word in that 50 Cent song spoke to him. I ain't lying, Kyle. I'm telling you.
No, I'm just laughing, because when I saw the video, I was cracking up.
There's like something about the way he's standing and kind of nodding.
Think about it.
Hands behind his back. Like, that's right.
Yes.
There's nothing funny about like a dorky white guy standing there like bopping to 50 Cent.
The song spoke to him. 50 Cent in that moment was preaching to Nick Sirianni, and he was soaking up every word. That's what happened. That's what I saw.
Did he have sunglasses on because he had blood in his eyes?
I guess he did. But I'm telling you, he probably had that song on repeat on his way home.
There's something, it's half dorky, half badass, the more I watch the video.
Think about it. Look at it. Like, people, do me a favor. Go to ESP's page and look at it. I'm telling you. This weekend is going to be either the turning point, well, it's going to be a turning point regardless. But I feel it's going to be in a positive way. I feel it's going to be a positive turning point.
I also would say, great job. Elliot is there all the time, right?
And they
play music all the time. He Elliot has a very discerning eye on for stuff to post. Very discerning eye. Ever since I've known him. He knew. He saw. He heard that. He saw Sirianni said,
Elliot picked up on that. And when I saw it, I was like, yeah, Nick Sirianni sending a message.
I don't want to rain on your parade. There is another theory of why he was playing that.
Oh,
why is it?
So when Saquon became an Eagle, I think he posted on his Instagram page it was like a video of him standing there in a Giants uniform.
Was that the song?
Switching to the Eagles uniform with this going.
Same thing, but that's the point. The song it speaks
like for the two of them. They're riding up to New York.
That's what I'm saying.
For their revenge.
They're both of them. For Saquon Barkley right now, he's trying to keep his emotions in check.
Can the head coach do the same?
No.
Nah.
Sirianni's going to bring those out of him.
Saquon Barkley is probably in a little bit better situation as far as keeping his emotions in check.
It's Sirianni.
Okay, I'm just making sure what me, because normally that...
No,
that
it always is you.
It really is a problem.
You can't escape the Sirianni Apple thing.
I know. Maybe we call him Brittany. Will that get the Siri not to go off on our phones?
And you know what's funny to your point, Kyle? It might have been for Saquon.
But Nick lived it.
Nick, that song spoke to him in that moment. Somebody in the car right now listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's breakup songs that people listen to that get them going. Like, what was that? Shake 'em off? Hey, Pater's gonna hate.
Oh, yeah.
You know that Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
I
wanted to make you say it first just in case.
I was Taylor Swift. Come on. That's early days.
But yeah, songs are played during times in our lives that are significant to us that we remember because of the moment that we were in when it happened. And for Nick, that was that moment.
What if Nick rolls out this one at practice today?
No, he rolled that one out. That does not fit.
Take
the
it
theme.
Off. Let the haters hate you.
Yeah, that's...
haters like you.
That would be a good one.
I mean, it works.
Goes out to Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, hey, because he's a hater.
Yeah. All right,
this is your song. Yeah.
let's go to the phones here. M in Virginia. What's up, M?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Playing a little, you know, Taylor Swift, 50 Cent, you know, just doing what we do.
Yeah, many men. He looked like a villain out of Batman, but that's what he looked like.
He did.
He was channeling his inner bad guy.
Yeah. And I like it. I don't know. Y'all been giving him a hard time all week, but I like it.
So you're good with Sirianni?
He's from Philadelphia. Be a Philadelphian.
Yeah, but he's a head coach, Jim. He's the head coach of a pro team.
I listen to y'all all day, but I also see the news in Philadelphia, even though I live in Virginia. What he's acting like is looking like Philadelphia. So, but I got a question for, I feel like it might be a question for Harvard Hugh, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Harvard Hugh. Go ahead.
Since you just spazzed out on why I can't get his name right. Who you just snapped?
Oh, you talking about Fangio?
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
I almost called him. Right?
I crashed out on Fangio. That's funny.
Yeah, you crashed out. I like that.
No, it's just funny. It's just funny when you said it. I didn't think about it like that, but I guess I did. I guess I did crash out.
Yeah,
because
you went from 0 to 100
real quick. Like, yeah, I did. That's another song. Go from 0 to 100 real quick. Yeah. No, I got you. But, so what's up? Yeah.
All right, so right, you played in the NFL, I think, right? I mean,
yes.
I believe growing up, I heard your name on TV and stuff.
Yes.
So, well, a defensive coordinator, I guess he's a guru or whatever.
Yes.
Don't you feel like he should be on the field coaching a new offense to a new team and a bunch of young guys? He should be on the field coaching instead of up in the booth watching the game like a spectator. Because I mean, that's not, like I feel like he just. He had the game chilling with the headset on, listening to what's going on.
Well, let me say this to that, because I don't recall in any of the time that I was in NFL, any defensive coordinator that I was a part of that ever was in the booth. Jim Johnson was on the field. Jim Vicarella I do believe when I was with the Jets, I think he was on the field.
Hold on, before you get finished, Vicarillo is a hell of a name.
Jim Vicarillo was my first defensive coordinator, was with the Jets. I hope I'm saying his name right.
That's a hell of a name.
Who did we mention yesterday used to be the coach of the Atlanta Falcons?
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith was on the field. Hell, Belichick, when he was the defensive coordinator
with the Jets, was on the field. Yeah, on the sideline. Like, yeah. When the player do something, he come grab by the helmet, scream on him, go
give you
the
certain
ball.
Tendencies. Yeah, give you like, certain nuances of the game. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're a coordinator of a team for the first year and the majority of your team is young, like, you can't give them the little tidbits they need in the moment if you're sitting on the roof.
I think there's something to that, man. And to your point, I remember times, but it was more so my coach, my immediate coach, that was Tommy Brazier, that he would tell me different things that he would see from the sideline. Hey, they're in this formation, be looking for this play. I remember vividly when we were playing the Giants, he used to always tell me, Hugh, watch out for the counter gap pass, you know, and watch out for this blocking formation and things of that nature. So, yeah, there's something to that, definitely.
Okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to know. And as far as I feel like we're going to make the playoffs. The schedule lends itself to that. While we were on the bye week, the NFL social media posted a graphic that we had the weakest schedule.
Moving forward, I mean, look at it. They get to play the Panthers. They played the Browns last week. They played the Giants a couple times.
It's favorable.
But they got to win them, we appreciate it. They got to win them. I mean, last week they played the Browns. They won by four. So, you know, they barely did it. All right, coming up next, your phone calls. And Ross Tucker offered up an explanation with us on the first 15 scripted plays and why they don't look good. And Landon Dickerson, he kind of confirmed that with something he said to Hugh and Elliot and Yike Monday in the Players' Lounge. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio.
It's summertime, and you might think putting your baby in a car seat in another cool room for a nap is a good idea. Car seats are a no-go for naps, even in a cooler room. Remember, the safest place for your baby to sleep, summer or winter, is always alone, on their back, and in an empty crib with no toys, blankets, or bumper pads. That's the ABCs of safe sleep. Learn more about infant safe sleep by visiting the Celebrate One website.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
94 WIP. All right, guys, let's talk about something that happens to a lot of us as we age. Your hair thins. It happens. And look, it's not the greatest feeling in the world. You know it. I know it. But you could do a lot of things about it. You could do nothing. You can go to the doctor. You can put some stuff on your hair. Or you can go see an expert. I visited my friend Dr. Rafi. He gave me help. Everyone loses hair as we age, and our hair loss won't stop unless you want to stop it. I'm not talking about those over-the-counter shampoos and supplements, because if you use them, you know they're not a permanent answer. Looks matter. So if you're newly single, have a wedding or job interview coming up, trying to land more clients, or just want to look the way you remember, you don't need to suffer anymore, because Dr. Rafi and his team at the Precision Hair Restoration will personally perform the most natural-looking hair restoration using cutting-edge artist robotic or Neograph FUE technology, or the non-surgical Alma TED. Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-800-9100. That's 215-800-9100. 800-9100. Get your confidence back or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHairMD.com.
That about sums it up.
We're gonna make a Sirianni album. All the songs that sum up Nick right now.
No, I'm just saying.
DJ at these press conferences, but if he screams at a fan again, they gotta drop this as he walks in for his presser.
Oops, I did it again.
Did it again. What are you gonna do about it?
Mini men. It's just the intro to the Mini Men for me. That's the part that he probably was like, you know.
If you haven't seen the video yet, there's something about Sirianni with his hands, his arms behind his back, nodding. There's the, like, if
that's
he's just standing there normal.
That's the part that spoke to me because I don't really watch that many videos. To full transparency, but when that one popped up, and I saw the look in his eyes, because initially I was like, "Where is Coach Sirianni?" Like,
him.
Oh, there he is,
he's
right
bobbing
there.
His head in the middle of the field.
I was like, "Yeah, he's feeling that
freaking awesome, guys."
Yeah, he's feeling that song.
Not really coaching any drill, but just
I'm gonna show you guys. I'm gonna get this right this weekend.
That's right. We're gonna win this football game.
Can't wait till the weekend get here.
Let's go back to the phones here. 215-592-949 for Chris in Middleton. Hey, Chris.
Good day, man.
What's going on,
Chris?
Man?
What's up?
Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
You are a total fraud. Let me tell you something. I had to listen to you earlier talk about how Amari Cooper is such a great receiver and, you know, we had to put Slay on him. Well, then why do you want to trade me for him? I offered you Amari Cooper and you said no.
Wait a minute, we talking fantasy football? I gave up last week. I gave up a few weeks ago.
Well, why don't you trade your good players then?
Because I'm petty. Mm-hmm. I'm petty.
Just like
You know what? But you are my partner. If you want, Chris, I ain't giving you nobody. But hey, I'll give my, because
no,
he's
no,
my
no,
partner.
No,
I got to see him every day.
No, no, no. That's collusion, Hugh.
No, you can't say this on the air. This is off air.
Never mind.
Mike's off with you, the collusion.
I'm the commissioner, dude.
Collude in public.
Never mind.
Right in front of the commissioner.
This is the number one rule of colluding. You don't do what anyone can see. No paper trail.
All right, then I ain't giving away nobody ever again.
You can't be doing this collusion in front of Kyle when you're playing Kyle.
I didn't know. True. I'm playing Kyle. Hey, well, Kyle's playing.
I'm going to crush you like a bug.
I still have the percentage I have chance of winning is like, it's like 50-50.
Zero. Not enough, bud.
It's always like 50-50 at the beginning, though, ain't it? Then it just goes south.
Probably would have been 64.
Wait, while you're playing, let me go ahead and put my Chiefs defense back and let me drop this other defense.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to put up a little bit of fight today.
What are you thinking, Chris?
Put up a little bit.
So, Joe, I want to run this by you because you're big on the core values. So I kind of recreated some new core values that I believe were more fitting to this team than what Nick had given us.
Okay.
So I'm really curious to what you fellas think of this. So we got pettiness, blame, feelings, tantrum, and long talk.
That sounds like our coach. Sounds like the football team right now. I like this. The long talk especially, because that's when Nick really gets himself in trouble, when he starts long talking.
Yeah, and he's definitely petty, you know, and then the blame, you know, we like to blame the media, we like to blame the fan base, we yell at the fan base, you know, all that stuff, you know, and he's definitely get ups in his feelings. I mean, he's got some, guys, in all seriousness, he's got some very bizarre feelings going on. When he came out with that shaved head, I've only ever seen that one other time, and I was in the Army, I was at Fort Huachuca, and one of our staff sergeants came in with a shaved head, and guys, that week, he ended up getting into a verbal confrontation with the first sergeant, which you do not do, and he ended up getting himself a couple of days off and lost a little bit of rank. And when he came in that day, my buddy and I looked at each other, and we said, yo, he went to a dark place. And that's what I feel with Nick. Like, I feel like the walls are crashing in on Nick, and Nick is really, really struggling to get by. So, I don't know.
It does feel that way.
And real quick, before you guys let me go, I think they're going to lose Sunday, and I do not see this team finishing to make it to the playoffs. I don't even see them above 500 at the end of the year.
Chris, it's as much as in the summer people would have thought you're crazy, I don't think you are. Chris, we appreciate it. I'm with you. I mean, could they go 9-8? Sure. Could they go 8-9? Yeah. I mean, if they lose Sunday, we got some big trouble here. So I saw – I'm trying to find it in his article. Shio Kapati, who's a friend of the station, he's on with the afternoon show. I was reading his article the other day. Yeah, I found the part of it. He had a theory in here about Sirianni's outburst. Mm-hmm. And his theory was that he was so emotional because he thought if he lost the game, he was going to get fired. That's why there was that. Because he had like an excitement to him when nobody else was happy. So the theory from Shield was in his column.
He was like, woo, I dodged right. that bullet.
Ultimate relief.
I hear you, but you still got a lot of football left to be played, man. And unless it was one of those where if you lose this game.
That's what he wrote. Like if he Sirianni, the theory he had was Sirianni felt so much pressure heading into the game that if he had lost, he was going to lose his job on Monday. And when they won, that was the exuberance. Like, bleep you, bring the kids to the podium, smiling, and everyone else is like, that sucked. What are you happy about?
That's odd if that's the case. I mean, but I felt that's something to think about. I don't think, but this is Sirianni to me, Kyle, is in a situation where he's week to week. Now, if
it's not a good place to be emotionally.
No, yeah, but I think that's why I feel like he cut his hair, because it's like if I go out, I'm going out on my terms.
The outbursts. It's just so funny to call them outbursts. We're talking about a professional football head coach.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of it's that deep at all, honestly. Like, and
no,
I say
it's
this,
something, bro.
Well, no,
it's
hold on.
Something.
I say this to Nick Sirianni's credit. He is so competitive. And he wants to win so badly. Like, he thinks he's a part of the team. He runs down the sideline.
Well, he was jawing with players.
Celebrates in front of the cameras. Jaws with the players. Like, this is who Sirianni is. I think he was so wrapped up in the fact that he was getting booed and the fans were pissed off. And he actually took them winning that game as, like, a big accomplishment that day.
A big forget you.
And, like, that's why it adds up that he felt that it was a good enough situation. They're in a celebratory mood, and he brings the kids to the podium.
Hey, we just
and he's saying,
wanna,
yo, what now? Where's the booze now?
Game.
Like, I just think that's who he is. And, like, I say that part to his credit, is that he wants to win so badly. It means so much to him that that competitive fire comes out with him where he's like, I'm going to rub this in your face. Like,
man,
what did you say?
I hear you, but, and I know this is everybody else's sentiment, and I'm about to work against the thing that I've been trying to establish all week. It was the Cleveland Browns, though, dog.
I know, but it was a four-point
like
win over
on,
the Browns.
I know, but you're excited about that?
No,
stop
but
it.
I truly believe that Sirianni has deluded himself into that way of thinking of any win in the NFL is a good win.
So, all right, I got a dumb analogy for you guys, okay? Because we specialize in these. Imagine if you're in a relationship or you're living with someone, right? And they get frustrated because you don't help out at all. Like, you don't do anything around the house, okay? The equivalent of this is taking the trash out, coming in and be like, how about now? That's not a big deal. Like, this would be the easiest thing you could do is take the trash out. The Browns are the trash of the NFL. They beat them by 4 points. You don't get like a, wow, thanks so much for taking the trash out. That's the way he came to the podium on Sunday.
Well, no.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't think he should be celebrated that way. But if somebody's like, you never take out the trash, dude. Like, never. What's your deal? One day you take it upon yourself. You do take out the trash. You're like, guess what?
Did it.
Got nothing to say about me taking out the trash today, do you?
This is the head coach of the team.
What about now? The trash is out.
How do you like me now? Mad Mike is up. What's up, Mad Mike?
Here we go.
Hey, how are we doing today, guys?
Here we go.
Well, Mike, let me guess. You don't think they're a playoff team?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, they might get there just by sheer dumb luck, but I don't think they're a playoff team. And I mean, you know, my favorite Hugh is tongue-tied Hugh.
Don't be helping out Mad Mike.
Captain Obvious Hugh, who you think he's going to say something insightful, and it's just like, oh, they're going to either win the game or they're going to lose the game. Well, thank you for that, Hugh.
That was Waffle Douglas.
This is the first time I've caught in heat from Mike since I've been here. What I do to get this?
No, this is good. We got more Hughes for the bracket.
I have an agenda.
I like you, Hugh. I mean, but here's my thing. I mean, you've got a moron head coach, and let's be honest, he's a moron. He had no business being hired in the first place, but he's a moron. And then you got a quarterback that has no business being a quarterback here. He hasn't learned anything. He's been coddled in his center that basically protected him and called everything out for him is gone. And now all he can do is run to the right or throw passes deep to the outside. I mean, he hasn't learned anything. And, like, you know, we're just supposed to be like, oh, it's such fun. They're going to be a playoff team. This team is regressing each year. And the window is shut on this version of the team. So just blow it up and start over.
Well, if they don't make the playoffs this year, Mike, and we appreciate that, might be where they go. I mean, they'll have a new coach next year. And depending on how Jalen plays over the next 12 games, I'm telling you, if Jalen plays exactly like he has the first five for the next 12, they will draft a quarterback. Now, I don't know if it'll be the first round, but they'll draft a quarterback. Hugh, last time we had this, like, I think there's a misconception that the Eagles drafted Jalen when Carson was bad. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Carson moved towards average, and then they drafted Jalen, and then Carson went bad, and then Jalen just took his spot. But
yeah,
the Eagles,
but you hedge
your
bets.
Don't wait. Yeah, they hedge.
You're hedging your bets. You're hedging your bets in this situation because it doesn't, for where Jalen was or where we thought he was going, there's a disconnect with the team. It's too much talent. We've all said it. We've danced around it. We've blamed the coach. We've blamed the offensive coordinators three times. Well, you know what I mean. I'm not saying we blame, but you get
sure.
what I mean. You get where I'm going with this. So now some of us don't want to start looking where we might need to start looking. I think the Eagles are, but they're going to hold off on this as much as they possibly can because for them, it looks like a mistake. Or they don't want it to look like a mistake, I should say.
You know what we're going to start seeing soon? This always comes out around October, November. On Saturdays, you start getting the reports of which teams have a lot of people at college games that have big-time quarterbacks, like Shedeur Sanders, right? He might be the first one taken. I don't know. But like whenever they play their next game, this Saturday, next Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a report out there like, hey, the Browns and the Dolphins and whoever, the bad teams, the Panthers, have extra scouts today to watch Shedeur Sanders. I'll be interested to see if any of those quarterbacks – any of those times we see that says the Eagles have some people there.
Feels like we're at that point in the Eagles cycle mm-hmm. where it reminds me of the Carson Wentz, DeFilippo, Frank Reich thing. So Shane Steichen went to the Colts. Oh, you haven't been good since Shane Steichen left. And now some people, for some ungodly reason, are saying, well, Brian Johnson, we need to get Brian Johnson back. And then we all realize, guess what? We have a quarterback problem. The quarterback's not as good as we thought. And then we draft a quarterback.
Well, it does feel like the Eagles cycle is it just goes over and over again. It's like a hamster wheel. We're on it here. All right, let's get back to the slow starts because it's the number one issue with the offense. I mean, you kind of pinpoint it to different quarters. They're okay second, third, and fourth quarter. They stink in the first quarter. Why? So we had Ross Tucker on. We asked him, what is his theory? What's going on in the first quarter? Here's Ross.
I will say there are some coordinators, and this is an interesting discussion, who totally script for success. What do I mean by that? The first 10, the first 12, first 15, different guys do it differently. That's totally designed to try to go down the field and score a touchdown. Other guys, they want to have a different personnel grouping and formation every play in their script. They want to see what the defense is doing, how they're playing them, and then allow them to know how they want to attack the rest of the game. So I'm wondering if Kellen Moore is focusing more on the latter than the former, meaning let's do all these different formations, let's do all these different personnel groupings, see what Schwartz or whoever their plan is against it, and then I'll know how I want to attack moving forward.
I thought it was really interesting he said that because, Hugh, the night prior, you were doing the players' lounge with Elliot and Ike, and you guys had Landon Dickerson on,
mm-hmm.
and Dickerson said something it kind of made me think about what Ross told us. I just wonder, is Kellen Moore attacking early, or are they trying to get intel to score later? Listen to Landon with you guys on Monday again.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, that's what the week of preparation is for, is you go through your film study and you say, all right, this is what this team has, you know, done against other players or other teams, right? So we mm-hmm. go out there with expectations of, you know, we put this personnel grouping, this formation out there, this is how they're going to react. So, you know, sometimes we get into games, we throw a personnel out there in a formation, they give us a look that, you know, maybe they haven't run this year, maybe they haven't ever ran. And, you know, it's at that point, you know, you go in with those 15 initial, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's 10, 15, whatever the initial plays are. But a lot of times those plays end up being feeler plays to see, all right, with this motion, this is how they're doing. They're going to slingshot the safeties or they're going to run with man here. You know, what are these guys doing versus this motion versus this play? What's the adjustment here? So a lot of times it's really just figuring out what that other team's, you know, what their game plan was for us.
He said that he used the term feeler plays. It's yeah, Ross mentioned.
That's stupid.
I'm with you. How many possessions? So how many possessions do you think a team gets a game? 7, 8, 9, 10
Yeah, I was about to say yeah.
Depending on the game.
And how well the defense is playing.
Right, right. But you don't get 20 possessions. Like, we can't just waste a possession with feeler
especially
plays.
Especially this team. Take a deep breath. You're not, right now, you have the talent amassed to be that team that can throw off filler plays. At some point, right now, you're not that team. You're talking about a defense who is bipolar at best. We don't know where we're going. Nobody still feels good as well as they played last week against the Cleveland Browns. Nobody feels good about this defense. You have an offense that hasn't scored a touchdown this season yet in the first quarter, and you still throwing out filler plays? If that's the case, if that's true, you're still doing filler plays? How about you do plays that put you in the end zone in the beginning of the game and put some points on the board and take some of the stress off of your defense? That, to me, is the if that's true, that's stupid. We're not that team yet. We're not. You see every other team. The Detroit Lions, they went out there and they kicked the Cowboys' ass. Filler plays? That's exactly what I'm talking about, Joe. We used to go out there, and we used to get quick hitters all the time, trying to get in the end zone. You don't know how the game is going to play out. You never do. Why are you going out there trying? What are you going to do? I don't know. What you going to do? Stop. Why?
It tells me they're not confident in what they have.
No, Joe, it's
not
it's,
players-wise. I mean, their own plan, their own plays.
Your game plan, to me, is not that bright. Like, that's the bottom line. This is the NFL is a game of scoring points. We talk about points, the point scoring is down in the NFL right now. Joe, you need, in order to win football games, it's simple for me. In order to win football games, I need to score points. Hell, it's cats that play Madden that don't run filler play. They're trying to score right away. What you doing? If that's the case, what you doing? Filler play, because I want to see what the defense. I don't care what the defense is doing. I'm trying to get it in the zone. Hell, give me 3 or 6. That's it. I need 3 with my first possession or 6. That's all. I don't need to figure out what formations and how I'm going to attack this and that. I'll figure that out after I get these 6 points. Because I got 6, and guess what? You ain't got 6. So now you got to figure out how you going
to
get 6.
I've spent 4 days trying to figure out why they can't score in the first quarter. The more we listen to them talk,
the more irritated
I get. It's pretty obvious. They don't know what they're doing to start these games. I mean, it's just it's quite clear.
That about sums it up.
We're going to make a Sirianni album? All the songs that sum up Nick right now?
No, I'm just saying.
DJ at these press conferences, but if he screams at a fan again, they gotta drop this as he walks in for his presser.
Oops, I did it again.
Did it again. What are you gonna do about it?
It's just the intro to the Mini Man for me. That's the part that he probably was like, you know.
If you haven't seen the video yet, there's something about Sirianni with his hands, his arms behind his back, nodding. There's the, like, if
that's
he's just standing there normal.
That's the part that spoke to me, because I don't really watch that many videos. Full transparency, but when that one popped up, and I saw the look in his eyes, because initially I was like, "Where is Coach Sirianni?" Like,
him.
Oh, there he is,
he's
right
bobbing
there.
His head in the middle of the field.
I was like, "Yeah, he's feeling that
freaking awesome, guys."
Yeah, he feeling that song.
Not really coaching any drill, but just hanging out.
I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to get this right this weekend.
That's right. We're going to win this football game.
Can't wait till the weekend get here.
Let's go back to the phones here. 215-592-9494 for Chris in Middleton. Hey, Chris.
Good day, man.
What's going on,
Chris,
man?
What's up?
Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
You are a total fraud. Let me tell you something. I had to listen to you earlier talk about how Amari Cooper is such a great receiver and, you know, we had to put Slay on him. Well, then why do you want to trade me for him? I offered you Amari Cooper and you said no.
Wait a minute, we talking fantasy football? I gave up last week. I gave up a few weeks ago.
Well, why don't you trade us your good players then?
Because I'm petty. Mm-hmm. I'm petty.
Just like
you know what? But you are my partner. If you want, Chris, I ain't giving you nobody. But hey, I give my because
no,
he's
no,
my
no,
partner.
No,
I gotta see him every day.
No. That's collusion here.
No, you can't say this on the air. This is off air.
Never mind.
Mike's
dear.
Off with you the collusion.
I'm the commissioner, dude.
You never collude in public.
Yeah. Never mind.
Right
dear.
In front of the commissioner.
This is the number one rule of colluding. You don't do what anyone can see. No paper trail.
All right, then I ain't giving away nobody ever again.
You can't be doing this collusion in front of Kyle when you're playing Kyle.
I didn't know. I'm playing Kyle. Hey, well, Kyle's playing.
I'm gonna crush you like a bug.
No, I still have the percentage I have chance of winning is like it's like 50-50.
Zero. Not enough, bud.
It's always like 50-50 at the beginning, though, ain't it? Then it just goes south.
Probably would have been 64.
Wait, let me say while you're playing. Let me go ahead and put my Chiefs defense back and let me drop this other defense.
Okay.
Right, I'm gonna put up a little bit of fight today.
What are you thinking, Chris?
Put up a little bit.
So Joe, I want to run this by you because you're big on the core values. So I kind of recreated some new core values that I believe were more fitting to this team than what Nick had given us.
Okay.
So I'm really curious to what you fellas think of this. So we got pettiness, blame, feelings, tantrum, and long talk.
That sounds like our coach. Sounds like the football team right now. I like this. The long talk especially because that's when Nick really gets himself in trouble when he starts long talking.
Yeah, and he's definitely petty, you know, and then the blame, you know, we like to blame the media, we like to blame the fan base, we yell at the fan base, you know, all that stuff, you know, and he's definitely get ups in his feelings. I mean, he's got some, guys, in all seriousness, he's got some very bizarre feelings going on. When he came out with that shaved head, I've only ever seen that one other time, and I was in the Army, I was at Fort Huachuca, and one of our staff sergeants came in with a shaved head, and guys, that week, he ended up getting into a verbal confrontation with the first sergeant, which you do not do, and he ended up getting himself a couple of days off and lost a little bit of rank. And when he came in that day, my buddy and I looked at each other, and we said, yo, he went to a dark place. And that's what I feel with Nick. Like, I feel like the walls are crashing in on Nick, and Nick is really, really struggling to get by. So, I don't know.
It does feel that way.
And real quick, before you guys let me go, I think they're going to lose Sunday, and I do not see this team finishing to make it to the playoffs. I don't even see them above 500 at the end of the year.
Chris, it's as much as in the summer people would have thought you're crazy, I don't think you are. Chris, we appreciate it. I'm with you. I mean, could they go 9-8? Sure. Could they go 8-9? Yeah. I mean, if they lose Sunday, we got some big trouble here. So I'm trying to find it in his article. Shio Kapati, who's a friend of the station, he's on with the afternoon show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I was reading his article the other day. Yeah, I found the part of it. He had a theory in here about Sirianni's outburst. Mm-hmm. And his theory was that he was so emotional because he thought if he lost the game, he was going to get fired. That's why there was that. Because he had like an excitement to him when nobody else was happy. So the theory from Shield was in his column.
He was like, woo, I dodged that bullet.
Ultimate relief.
Shield, I hear you. But you still got a lot of football left to be played, man. And unless it was one of those where if you lose this game.
That's what he wrote. Like if Sirianni, the theory he had was Sirianni felt so much pressure heading to the game that if he had lost, he was going to lose his job on Monday. And when they won, that was the exuberance. Like bleep you, bring the kids to the podium, smiling, and everyone else is like, that sucked. What are you happy about?
That's odd if that's the case. I mean, but. I mean, that's something to think about. I don't think, but this is, Sirianni to me, Kyle, is in a situation where he's week to week. Now,
It's not a good place to be emotionally.
No, yeah, but I think that's why I feel like he cut his hair, because it's like, if I go out, I'm going out on my terms.
It's just so funny to call them outbursts, talking about a professional football head coach.
Yeah.
But. I don't think any of it's that deep at all, honestly. Like, and
no,
I say
it's
this,
something, bro.
Well, no,
it's
hold on.
Something.
I say this to Nick Sirianni's credit. He is so competitive, and he wants to win so badly. Like, he thinks he's a part of the team. He runs down the sidelines.
Well, he was jawing with players.
Celebrates in front of the cameras, jaws with the players. Like, this is who Sirianni is. I think he was so wrapped up in the fact that he was getting booed and the fans were pissed off. And he actually took them winning that game as like a big accomplishment that day.
A big forget you.
And like that's why it adds up that he felt that it was a good enough situation. They're in a celebratory mood and he brings the kids to the podium.
Hey, we just
and he's saying,
wanna,
yo, what now?
Want a
where's the booze now?
Game.
Like, I just think that's who he is. And like, I say that that part to his credit, is that he wants to win so badly. It means so much to him that that competitive fire comes out with him where he's like, I'm going to rub this in your face. Like, man, what did you say?
I hear you, but, and I know this is everybody else's sentiment, and I'm about to work against the thing that I've been trying to establish all week. It was the Cleveland Browns, though, dog.
I know.
I know, but I...
It was a four-point like win
come
over
on,
the...
Dog.
I know.
You're excited about that?
No,
stop
but
it.
I truly believe that Sirianni has deluded himself into that way of thinking of any win in the NFL is a good win.
So, all right, I got a dumb analogy for you guys, okay? Because we specialize in these. Imagine if you were in a relationship or you're living with someone, right? And they get frustrated because you don't help out at all. Like, you don't do anything around the house, okay? The equivalent of this is taking the trash out, coming in and be like, how about now? That's not a big deal. Like, this would be the easiest thing you could do is take the trash out. The Browns are the trash of the NFL. They beat them by 4 points. You don't get like a, wow, thanks so much for taking the trash out. That's the way he came to the podium on Sunday.
Well, no.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't think he should be celebrated that way. But if somebody's like, you never take out the trash, dude. Like, never. What's your deal? One day you take it upon yourself. You do take out the trash. You're like, guess what?
Did it.
Got nothing to say about me taking out the trash today, do you?
This is the head coach of the team.
What about now? The trash
how
is
you,
out.
How do you like me now? Mad Mike is up. What's up, Mad Mike?
Here we go.
Hey, how are we doing today, guys?
Here we go.
Well, Mike, let me guess. You don't think they're a playoff team?
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, they might get there just by sheer dumb luck, but I don't think they're a playoff team. And I mean, you know, my favorite Hugh is tongue-tied Hugh.
Don't be helping out Mad Mike.
Captain Obvious Hugh, who you think he's going to say something insightful, and it's just like, oh, they're going to either win the game or they're going to lose the game. Well, thank you for that, Hugh.
That was Waffle Douglas.
This is the first time I've caught heat from Mike since I've been here. What I do to get this?
No, this is good. We got more Hughes for the bracket.
I have an agenda.
I like you, Hugh. I mean, but here's my thing. I mean, you've got a moron head coach, and let's be honest, he's a moron. He had no business being hired in the first place, but he's a moron. And then you got a quarterback that has no business being a quarterback here. He hasn't learned anything. He's been coddled in his center that basically protected him and called everything out for him is gone. And now all he can do is run to the right or throw passes deep to the outside. I mean, he hasn't learned anything. And, like, you know, we're just supposed to be like, oh, it's fine. They're going to be a playoff team. This team is regressing each year. And the window is shut on this version of the team. So just blow it up and start over.
Well, if they don't make the playoffs this year, Mike, and we appreciate it, that might be where they go. I mean, they'll have a new coach next year. And depending on how Jalen plays over the next 12 games, I'm telling you, if Jalen plays exactly like he has the first five for the next 12, they will draft a quarterback. Now, I don't know if it'll be the first round, but they'll draft a quarterback. Hugh, last time we had this, like, I think there's a misconception that the Eagles drafted Jalen when Carson was bad. That's not true. Mm-hmm. Carson moved towards average, and then they drafted Jalen, and then Carson went bad, and then Jalen just took a spot. But
yeah,
the Eagles,
but you
don't,
your
they
bets.
Don't wait. Yeah, they hedge.
You're hedging your bets. You're hedging your bets in this situation because it doesn't, for where Jalen was or where we thought he was going, there's a disconnect with the team. It's too much talent. We've all said it. We've danced around it. We've blamed the coach. We've blamed the offensive coordinators three times. Well, you know what I mean. I'm not saying we blame,
last
but
two,
you
for
get
sure.
What I mean. Yeah, you get where I'm going with this. So now some of us don't want to start looking where we might need to start looking. I think the Eagles are, but they're going to hold off on this as much as they possibly can because for them, it looks like a mistake. Or they don't want it to look like a mistake, I should say.
You know what we're going to start seeing soon? This always comes out around October, November. On Saturdays, you start getting the reports of which teams have a lot of people at college games that have big-time quarterbacks, like Shedeur Sanders, right? He might be the first one taken. I don't know. But like, whenever they play their next game, this Saturday, next Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised if there is a report out there like, hey, the Browns and the Dolphins and whoever, the bad teams, the Panthers have extra scouts today to watch Shedeur Sanders. I'll be interested to see if any of those quarterbacks – any of those times we see that says the Eagles have some people there.
Feels like we're at that point in the Eagles cycle where we, it's like, it reminds me of the Carson Wentz, DeFilippo, Frank Reich thing. So Shane Steichen went to the Colts. Oh, you haven't been good since Shane Steichen left. And now some people, for some ungodly reason, are saying, well, Brian Johnson, we need to get Brian Johnson back. And then we all realize, guess what? We have a quarterback problem. The quarterback's not as good as we thought. And then we draft a quarterback.
Well, it does feel like the Eagles cycle is it just goes over and over again. It's like a hamster wheel. We're on it here. All right, let's get back to the slow starts because it's the number one issue with the offense. I mean, you kind of pinpoint it to different quarters. They're okay second, third, and fourth quarter. They stink in the first quarter. Why? So we had Ross Tucker on. We asked him, what is his theory? What's going on in the first quarter? Here's Ross.
I will say there are some coordinators, and this is an interesting discussion, who totally script for success. What do I mean by that? The first 10, the first 12, first 15, different guys do it differently. That's totally designed to try to go down the field and score a touchdown. Other guys, they want to have a different personnel grouping and formation every play in their script. They want to see what the defense is doing, how they're playing them, and then allow them to know how they want to attack the rest of the game. So I'm wondering if Kellen Moore is focusing more on the latter than the former, meaning let's do all these different formations, let's do all these different personnel groupings, see what Schwartz or whoever their plan is against it, and then I'll know how I want to attack moving forward.
I thought it was really interesting he said that because, Hugh, the night prior, you were doing the players' lounge with Elliott and Ike, and you guys had Landon Dickerson on, and Dickerson said something. It kind of made me think about what Ross told us. I just wonder, is Kellen Moore attacking early, or are they trying to get intel to score later? Listen to Landon with you guys on Monday again.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, that's what the week of preparation is for, is you go through your film study and you say, all right, this is what this team has, you know, done against other player or other teams, right? So we go out there with expectations of, you know, we put this personnel grouping, this formation out there, this is how they're going to react. So, you know, sometimes we get into games, we throw a personnel out there in a formation, they give us a look that, you know, maybe they haven't run this year, maybe they haven't ever ran. And, you know, it's at that point, you know, you go in with those 15 initial, you know, whatever it is, maybe it's 10, 15, whatever the initial plays are. But a lot of times those plays end up being feeler plays to see, all right, with this motion, this is how they're doing. They're going to slingshot the safeties, or they're going to run with man here. You know, what are these guys doing versus this motion, versus this play? What's the adjustment here? So a lot of times it's really just figuring out what that other team's, you know, what their game plan was for us.
Hugh, he said that he used the term feeler plays. Ross mentioned,
that's stupid. I'm
with you. How many possessions do you think a team gets a game? 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah.
Depending on the game.
And how well the defense is playing.
Right. But you don't get 20 possessions. Like, we can't just waste a possession with feeler
especially
plays.
Especially this team. Take a deep breath. You're not, right now, you have the talent amassed to be that team that can throw off filler plays. At some point, right now, you're not that team. You're talking about a defense who is bipolar at best. We don't know where we're going. Nobody still feels good as well as they played last week against the Cleveland Browns. Nobody feels good about this defense. You have an offense that hasn't scored a touchdown this season yet in the first quarter, and you still throwing out filler plays? If that's the case, if that's true, you're still doing filler plays? How about you do plays that put you in the end zone in the beginning of the game and put some points on the board and take some of the stress off of your defense? That to me is if that's true, that's stupid. We're not that team yet. We're not. You see every other team. The Detroit Lions, they went out there and they kicked the Cowboys' ass. Filler plays? That's exactly what I'm talking about, Joe. We used to go out there and we used to get quick hitters all the time, trying to get in the end zone. You don't know how the game is going to play out. You never do. Why are you going out there trying? What are you going to do? I don't know. What you going to do? Stop. Why?
It tells me they're not confident in what they have.
No, Joe, it's
players-wise. I mean, their own plan, their own plays.
Your game plan, to me, is not that bright. Like, that's the bottom line. This is the NFL is a game of scoring points. We talk about points. The point scoring is down in the NFL right now. Joe, You need, in order to win football games, this is, it's simple for me. In order to win football games, I need to score points. Hell, it's cats that play Madden that don't run filler play. They're trying to score right away. What you doing? If that's the case, what you doing? Filler play. Because I want to see what they do. I don't care what the defense is doing. I'm trying to get an end zone. Hell, give me 3 or 6. That's it. I need 3 with my first possession or 6. That's all. I don't need to figure out what formations and how I'm going to attack this and that. I'll figure that out after I get these 6 points. Because I got 6, and guess what? You ain't got 6. So now you got to figure out how you're going
to
get 6.
I've spent 4 days trying to figure out why they can't score in the first quarter. The more we listen to them talk,
the more irritated
I get. It's pretty obvious. They don't know what they're doing to start these games. I mean, it's quite clear.
It's summertime, and you might think putting your baby in a car seat in another cool room for a nap is a good idea. Car seats are a no-go for naps, even in a cooler room. Remember, the safest place for your baby to sleep, summer or winter, is always alone, on their back, and in an empty crib with no toys, blankets, or bumper pads. That's the ABCs of safe sleep. Learn more about infant safe sleep by visiting the Celebrate One website.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazon Fall Favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.